I'm not happy, Claire.
If only you could see Anna's face right now, because people of the world, that is the sound of British summer. That is the sound of us being actually rained on quite a lot. We were not getting rained on a couple of minutes ago before I said this is a great idea to sit outside. And now, yeah, I'm starting to get wet.
I'm not happy. I'm really not happy. I wasn't made for rain.
It was not made for rain.
Did it just rain on your face?
It's just rain on my hair. I've got curly hair and I don't like getting wet unless it's the shower.
Well, the thing is, if we leave, like, hiding underneath this tree, we're going to get really wet.
We're not going
so
anywhere.
Is it best that we just stay here?
Yeah, I'm sticking my head in the bush.
There's bugs, though.
It's all right, I'll take the bugs.
So a bit of protein. Actually getting properly soaked. I'm going to put my phone away into my bag. So anyway, hello. Thanks for coming back and giving us another go. This is Slimming World Podcast. We are occasionally reasonably professional.
Really?
Yeah, sometimes. I'm Claire and with me is Anna. And if you're new to Slimming World Podcast, then thanks very much for joining. Do make sure that you subscribe because you get a new episode every Monday morning. We make a pact that at 1 a.m, so if you can't sleep on a Monday morning, that's when it goes live in the UK. At 1 a.m, we publish a new podcast so that whatever's happened at your weekend, you can have at least 20 minutes bite-sized mojo of just getting back in the game. Because we've all been there. We've done that.
We're all still in there.
And it feels like such a long time, like, since we started our first one. Like, we recorded our episodes around Christmas time.
It's only 6 months.
In 2018.
Mad, isn't it?
Yeah, and how we didn't really know what on earth we were starting and what we were doing, but...
Or if anyone would listen. Yeah. We just were chatting over your kitchen table, weren't we? And now look at us, we're on a rainy park bench.
And one of the things that when we released our first couple of episodes, we did Anna's story and my story, Claire's story, and we decided to kind of just set the scene really of where we were coming from. So if you are new, do go back and listen to that so you can get a bit of a background of where we're coming from. But in one of mine, I talked about a significant moment and a purchase that I'd just made, right? And so we put some pictures on our Instagram of the result of this purchase.
Wow.
It was cool, wasn't it?
It was fair to say we had ginger spice in group yesterday, wasn't it? We had our very own Spice Girl come in. The 8 o'clock, it woke them up, didn't it?
It really did. So I had bought a Spice Girls dress because I went to go and see them on tour last night in Manchester at the Etihad. And I bought this dress and it's the first size small dress that I'd bought.
Do you know it's a size small?
It was a size
small. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
And when I tried it, so it arrived in the post and I tried it and I couldn't really fit my bum in it. I was like, there's no way I can go out in public wearing this. I just looked like a girl
like
who'd
a
had far too much Lambrini at 3 a.m. and even then it's dark, isn't it? Not daylight. So I thought, there's no way I'm getting the tram around Manchester wearing this.
No. Dangerous.
And definitely need your big pants.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, okay, let's just hang it up in my bedroom. And so every day it's kind of been hanging there and I've just been, you know, going past occasionally looking at it thinking, oh yeah, that'll happen soon. And then before you know it, it's like, boom, 1st of June, you go in. And so I'm going to sneeze. Hang on.
The best sneeze I've ever had. Oh, sweet Jesus, Claire. You're a professional sneezer.
Anyway, yesterday morning, I weigh on Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. And I decided I was going to weigh wearing the dress.
Wow. You looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
You really did.
I felt good, actually. I felt good.
I didn't know that was a size small. You looked even better knowing that was a size small. That's incredible.
It's crazy, isn't it? And then, but when I was at the gig as well, like, people were like, oh my God, I love your dress. And there were loads of the Union Jack dress people. And you know, when you just like, I wanted to have that feeling where, so I always dread summer. We've talked about this in our Get Ready for Summer episode.
You dread it now.
But yeah, you know, when you kind of think, oh, I don't want to get my arms out.
Yeah.
I don't want to show any flesh. Mm. And I kind of went out last night thinking, yeah,
I'm showing a lot of flesh.
Yeah, well, I did wear tights.
Did you wear leggings? Tights, okay. I wore tights. It was a little short, wasn't it?
So anyway, that's
you found
that was
something
a...
out yesterday as well, didn't you? What did you find out?
What did I find
that
out?
A Fitbit weighs half a pound.
Oh, yes. So we weighed. We did an Instagram live of my weighing because I'm so close to my 5 stone.
Oh.
Oops. Dropping raindrops on the microphone. Sorry about that. we weighed in and it was a maintain. And then I realised I had my... well, normally I don't wear pants and socks.
Do you know they can hear you even if you whisper?
I don't wear pants, bra and socks.
I can't weigh in socks. I don't know why. I have to connect just, with the scales.
Yeah. Like just a vest top and leggings is normally all I weigh.
Yeah, but you couldn't have got away with no underwear in that dress yesterday.
No, I couldn't.
Jesus. No. That's a whole nother podcast, isn't it?
No, you need like a little section in your weigh-in, I think, actually.
Yeah.
Where you can...
We need like a changing room weigh, don't we? We could go in, get other girls, be naked.
But anyway, the Fitbit weighs half a pound. Because then I re-weighed and I lost half a pound.
Mad,
so who'd have bloody known that?
Yeah.
Anyway yeah. Right, so thank you so much for more of your reactions to this as questions. We were right. You do love hearing your own voices and, sorry, your own names being read out.
The messages I got from some people that we'd shouted out were like, I feel famous, I feel like a celebrity, exactly. It meant so much to me. Oh, but we love your comments. We're still shocked that you message us, aren't we?
And actually, you know, we choose not to read all of them out because sometimes some of the comments that you say are quite personal, and we totally understand that. And that's why I think this is quite a deeper subject that we're talking about on this episode. And we've just simply titled it Loneliness. And I think that this is one where many of you go away, fly. Many of you might kind of listen to this and think, ah, that's what that feeling is. Mm. I didn't know that was what it was, but I get it now. Mm. Because I have to say, how many years ago is this now? I want to say it was about 8 or 9 years ago. I was out with some friends for my birthday. And I just won awards. I just got like a dream like job at the BBC. Wow. And on the surface, things looked like they were going really, really well. And I went out with these two mates who had been friends for a long, long time. And, you know, we were doing shots at the bar and just having a good time. And I just burst into tears. And I just felt like I couldn't hold it in anymore. Aww. And I couldn't kind of... It had taken me a long time to kind of find the right words. And I just said to them, look, I think I'm lonely. Aww. I don't know what to do about it. And it completely... They were really good friends and they really reached out and they helped me and it really changed our friendship moving forward. But I didn't think that at someone who was like... What was I then? 27? 28? Could even feel lonely, you know?
God, yeah, I felt it in my time.
And that was so like the bad. First of many steps along a journey where I continuously felt that way.
But you can feel lonely even with millions of people around you.
Absolutely.
That's the weirdest feeling, isn't it? Because you think loneliness means sat on your own in a dark room. It doesn't at all. It means it can mean so many different things to so many different people. And I think in terms of weight loss, it's a massive issue.
Yeah.
Really big.
I keep noticing how people talk about this in lots of different ways because, you know, we'll talk about some of, I don't know if the symptoms is the right word of it, but also some of the actions that we do to try and treat it.
Yeah.
And that's probably where it's a lot clearer to more of us. So the idea of... I'm getting apps. I just had a trip.
Can we just say that we are not... It's rolling down our nose. Claire, we were not... I mean, you're far more into nature than I am, right?
We're easing the seriousness of this subject, aren't we?
Yeah, I've never been camping, and this is why. I'm too high maintenance. Look, I'm wearing white Converse and a white top.
Mm, right.
I wasn't made for this. Anyway, sorry. We were trying to be really sensible.
One of the things that I have realised in the last year is that we all have a multitude of different coping mechanisms without realising of things that we do to ease whatever pain or, I don't know, boredom or something to do with what's going on, right? So for me, it probably was, oh, I'll just have a couple of glasses of wine of an evening. Oh, I'll have that piece of cake.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have that Domino's pizza because I can't be bothered to cook.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll go and buy that new dress and those new pair of shoes, those new earrings, whatever. Oh, I'll go on that holiday and travel just to escape away.
Yeah.
And it becomes quite complex, actually, the coping mechanisms that we have. And when you remove those, you kind of think, oh, what do I do now?
You're very
exposed. And when you take away the food... For me, when I took away the food, that was a big crutch for me that had gone.
Yeah, totally gone. And it's what you fill it with. and where it leads you to kind of fill in your head, because it's the food is so deeply embedded, isn't it? Like, I did it since I was little, so when you're an adult and you're trying to take that away, you're like, no, I don't know how to fight this, because the groove's so deep that you naturally go back to that groove, don't you? So you have to keep making a new one.
Yeah, well, you look for cheap fixes. You know, some people might say when you quit booze, oh, having an alcohol-free beer is cheating, because you're just kind of substituting one thing for another. Yeah. There is that risk of substituting, but actually when you go to the heart of, well, why do I feel this way? Why do I need to do this? And you kind of treat the cause, not the symptom, is a big part of moving forwards in getting rid of those habits that you don't want.
That's like homeopathic medicine. They go straight to what the actual cause is, not the symptom, whereas like normal medicine treats the symptoms sometimes.
I think homeopathy is a load of poo-poo.
Oh, we'll have a discussion about homeopathy.
I think it's a load of quackers.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
We'll have we need another episode of that, because I'm a skeptic journalist. A product of homeopathy.
Really?
And now I've got an alternative medicine. Seriously, really? When conventional medicine couldn't help my illness anymore, that's where I went to.
Wow.
Cracks really helped. No, I'm joking. Really joking. Sorry.
Yeah, talking about loneliness.
Yeah.
That's what happens if you go down the route there.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, one of the things that I think I was reading about, like the discovery when you go on a new journey.
A journey of any type.
Right. So say, here's starting point. Point A is start A. Start is... God. Start point is A. Finish point is B. We all have a goal. We have a target. Yep. We have a dream. You know, I don't know. It could be, I want to buy my house. I want to get to Target. I want to, you know, get married.
The
A to B, you can very clearly see what point A is and what point B is. Yeah. But the bit in the middle, the murky grey area, I think is something that I've been looking at quite recently. And this bit where it's kind of like when you get in the middle, you don't really know truly what you're working towards, what that physically is going to look like. So, but you can't go back to who you were.
Yeah.
So you're in this weird no man's land where you're fearful of potentially what the future might slightly look like, or you just don't know.
Mm.
It's unknown. But you don't kind of feel like you belong. You're not the same person you were when you started.
It's like a transition, isn't it?
And with that comes all kinds of changes. So, like, the friends that you have, you know, maybe the conversations that you have with your family, the way that you spend your weekends, the people who you work with, maybe even the job that you do. Because you can kind of go through this period where you're like, I don't relate to anything of who I was anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that person anymore. And that is... I think someone I looked at, there's a guy called Leo who does all these YouTube videos called Unactualized, and he talks about this as the hero's journey, which is a bit cheesy.
But he talks about
how for people who don't want to settle and want to kind of keep moving forward, loneliness is inevitable.
It's very true, that.
Because you could grow, aren't you? You could change.
Yeah, and I think weight loss is a massive thing, and that's where people really discover them, that they've got to move on from their past and what that's going to mean. I've had lots of members that have changed jobs, split up marriages, met new people, had children. They've literally, the weight loss has given them that freedom to progress, but in the middle has been a whole lot of rubbish to get there.
The bit that no one talks about, I said this in like Not All Who Wander Are Lost, didn't I, how we always talk about the start and the end but never the weird bit in the middle.
The middle's the biggest part, isn't it, in terms of growth, I think, because you've got to give so much to get there. I had my first nervous breakdown at 21 and I'm never ever forget it, because it was at university. We were partying, we were living life, everyone was around. I had the most beautiful boyfriend who is now my husband. I was the loneliest person in my entire world, because actually I had all that kind of fun stuff, but that part of me that was growing and didn't know who I was and where I was at literally crashed and burned. And it's that thing that you think you've got to have 100 people around you and you can't be lonely, but I was the loneliest person in the world.
Wow.
So I really had to learn to talk to people, because I didn't let out how I was feeling. I expected everyone to just know that I was a bit sad or know that I was happy. And what I found was I was the laugh and soul of the party. You know, didn't need to have a drink, but I was always there. It was like, you can guarantee on Anna. And when Anna wasn't being funny anymore and Anna was sat in a room in her dressing gown for 4 days, no one wanted to know, really. Didn't know what to do. Phil used to have to pick me up, put me in the shower, brush my hair. If it hadn't have been for him and my best friend, then everyone would have left me, because I wasn't that party girl anymore. And I think it's the same with food, isn't it, and booze. And when you're trying to lose weight, you stick out. to your family or your friends because you're doing maybe what they want to do. Do you ever find that?
Yeah, I think it makes them the first thing that people really truly are thinking when they see you and you've lost weight is, oh God, maybe I should really sort myself out.
Oh, I want to be
It's
her.
A mirror, too, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And I think I found it a lot with people who you almost showed them up. And I don't mean like I was intending to, but, you know, you go out for a meal and you'll be like, have a superfood salad and a Diet Coke because that's the choice I want to make. Mm. Your friends will be like, but I wanted a pizza. Have a pizza, babe. I'm not stopping you having a pizza, but don't make me feel bad about my superfood salad.
I've had that with drinking as well. There's a couple of friends who I've just phased out because they just called me boring because I didn't want to have a drink at 1 o'clock on an Easter Monday afternoon. Yeah. And I was like, you can crack on, mate, but doesn't mean I have to. Don't make me feel bad on your behalf.
But I think that's what people do. They transfer that feeling, and that's why we can feel really lost because we're just trying to get this weight off, but in the middle we're dealing with everyone else's emotions as well as ours, like, oh, you used to be fun and I can't do it if you're not doing it. I hear it from members all the time, you know, I'm going out the weekend, I'm really going to struggle. Why are you going to struggle? Because my friends will want me to drink, because my friends will want me to eat, because my husband won't drink without me and all of that. And I really have to almost stretch that. If you want to lose weight, you've got to somehow, and this is what we can try and help you with, empower yourself to keep that strength and say, no, this is what I'm doing. Listen, if you want to go and have a drink and have something that's higher in sins, that's choice, isn't it? But don't, it's that feeling bullied almost into it. That's what I found a lot.
I you know, there's something in this, and I don't know whether I'm going to word this correctly.
Just
but
say it. Clumsy. Like in a clumsy way, do you know what I mean? If you need to.
Oh, that's what you're calling me.
Oh no, I'm clumsy, you're not.
So the quite often when you stop and you look around you, some of the people that you attract can be what you want to kind of put out. So when I kind of got to the point where I was, you know, maybe going out a lot, drinking a lot, was quite low in self-esteem, and yeah, I was kind of like clinging on to different groups of people, and sometimes they were not always very nice people.
No.
But that was like kind of a reflection of myself, and yeah, just generally, I don't know,
not where you
not,
wanted,
not
your
what
life
I
to
wanted
go.
To be, yeah. Right? But that's what I was putting out, and so then now I think over the last 18 months, as I've gone through this transformation, I've really started to kind of think, well, who do I want to give my time and energy? Mm. What kind of person do I want to be? And that's really kind of, I've slimmed down, I think, not completely got rid of those kind of friends. I'll still keep in contact with them, but I want to kind of be surrounded by people who are going to help push me forwards.
Who want the best for you.
Yeah.
Like, someone said to me something about their husband, and I said, my hubby is the type of man that makes me be the best version of me. Like, he will always push me to do my very best. He'll always support me. And without that, I wouldn't be who I am today. But I can imagine if you've got a partner that doesn't want you to have that, that is going to hold you back in terms of a lot of things, isn't it? So I think it's recognising the people that you have in your life and actually where you slot in, because we all take positions in relationships, don't we? We all take, like, so I'm known in my family as the confrontational one. I would totally disagree with them. I'm not confrontational. I'm just not scared to fight my corner. But, you know, so we take the position. My brother's kind of the chilled out peacemaker and all of that. And I think it's really interesting in your friendship groups and your family where you take your spaces. I'm trying to see what that is. I haven't got my glasses on. Oh, it's a cup. There was something catching my eye. But I think what happens in terms of when you're changing as a person, you shift, don't you? And you're not that person that people used to recognise. And that really unnerves them. Really, really does. Because you were the party girl, weren't you? Like I was.
Yeah.
And then when that stops, people are like, well, who are you? Because if you don't fit into that block, I'm not sure I want you in my life. Or how do I put that back together? And you're making me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, and also we're not willing to play that part anymore.
Oh,
we're just like, do you know what? I played that part for a long time. Yeah. Maybe a lot of it was faking it.
So, yeah, 100%. Also, I think people, what I had to recognise is some dominant people in my life that liked me being a little bit low, so they could almost control and do
Absolutely.
That type of thing. So actually, they don't like it when you get a strength of personality and of character and you get a bit of confidence, because it's like, you never used to say that before. You never used to do that. So I think it's really important to recognise you're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
You're just growing and changing, and the weight loss might just be the vehicle that you needed to be that person that you always were.
Yeah, but like we say, loneliness can be inevitable. I think it was interesting that he said that word inevitable, not like it might happen, but it is inevitable, and almost thinking,
embrace it.
I'm at this point, this has happened, but this is why.
Yeah, it's like, this is an awful analogy, but this might help you. I had a lady join, she's 3 weeks in, and she's like, is it normal that you fart? I said, what do you mean? She said, I've got the wind, I've got the stomach cramps. Oh yeah, that's the 3 week Slimming World curse, I like to call it. You know, when you've upped your fruit and your veg and your tummy is going, but that's part of the journey. And I think, I told you it was a terrible analogy, but loneliness is part of growing, isn't it? And I think it's when you accept it that it's okay and doesn't scare you.
How does that relate to the fart? Because she wasn't alone, she wasn't the only one.
She was like, Hannah, I'm farting loads and I've got tummy. I was like, oh babe, don't worry, we all do it, it's fine. I always know I'm really food optimizing when I'm farting a lot. And don't tell me you haven't experienced that, people who are listening.
So, well, it's because you eat so much bloody broccoli.
I can't eat it at the moment. I'm not very well with my colitis. But yeah, broccoli. I've got 4 packets of broccoli in the fridge that are just not... Daisy keeps opening going, trees, mummy, please trees. Please,
every
please,
time trees. I see broccoli, all I just think is, mummy, trees. Every time.
But I think it's that engaging with the loneliness will make you feel better.
Yeah. I mean, look, there is obviously a situation where... You know, the health impacts of loneliness is massive as well. And right now I'm working with Age UK Cheshire. I'm making my second series, where a podcast series. It's called Discover Bright Life. So if this is an area that you want to read up about, they have a project for the over 50s who... they go out into the community and they're finding ways to tackle loneliness in the over 50s. And now 50 is young, in my opinion.
I'm 12 years off it.
Yeah. But what they are doing is finding ways to kind of keep people connected.
Yeah.
And so as part of this series that we made last year, we went and spoke to doctors, and the health impacts of loneliness can be equivalent to smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
My God, really?
So these are kind of things that we have to be better at looking at, like when you know that there are friends living on their own, people who have been recently widowed or divorced.
That was the biggest thing. When my dad died 3 years ago, Mum had been with my dad 45 years, and she said life was fine until she went to bed. She said, and then it's...
That's exactly what they're saying. Yeah. In the evenings, you know, like, and actually a lot of people, TV can be their only company in the evening.
Yeah. Things like pets. So when I damaged my spine, I was at home, you know, 12, 15 hours a day on my own because Phil was working on locations. I got my little dog. My little dog was my absolute saviour because it was a connection. Yeah. It was something that was living and breathing. So I think it's knowing that, you know, you're maybe in an Instagram community, a podcast community, a Facebook. That's your tribe, isn't it? Yeah. I know that sounds really cheesy, but it is about finding your people and who you connect with and who gets you, and not being afraid of that and saying, well, actually, you're my old life and I don't need you.
You'll find things in the strangest of places, because I remember the first time I moved into a flat on my own, and I'd always just lived in, like, you know, a room, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so I remember the first couple of weeks I only lived in my bedroom because I was too afraid to use all this space. And then I thought, well, I've got to get some furniture because I can't fill this. And Twitter had just started. And I put a tweet out and I had 100 followers. And I said, look, has anybody got any kind of furniture they don't want? And a stranger got in contact with me and said, funny enough, I've got 2 rugs. And what did they say? And a little bookshelf. Do you want it? And I was like, yeah, okay. And I felt a bit weird about giving this stranger my address, but I thought, no, I really do. And she came round, and, you know, don't even know her real name, and she gave me this stuff. And I remember feeling so touched that, wow, that's incredible that I asked for something and a stranger gave me that.
Yeah. We underestimate humans, don't we?
And at that stage, I think I would come home from work on a Friday night. I was single and I wouldn't really talk to anyone until Monday morning. And all I would do is just watch box sets after box sets. And then it was seeing an advert in a pub to play ukulele that completely changed me reconnected. It. And I often think about this. That was one of many circumstances where I felt in that way. Shift work also made me feel very isolated. When you live on your own and you have to be up at 3:30 in the morning, you can't, you know, what do you do in your afternoons when everyone else is working? So I really have felt that in lots of different ways. But the thing that I learned last year about loneliness is, truly, to be connected, all you really need are 5 people that really you feel get that you get you. Yeah. And the number one question that the doctor said they ask is, if you needed help at 4 a.m, who would you call?
Yeah.
Because that's different to calling someone at 9 or 10. You need to know that person.
Yeah.
So I thought these were really powerful questions. And in the last few years, I've worked really hard to find perhaps those 5
I'm
people.
I'm just going through my list,
isn't it? And make my list of who I would call at 4 a.m. Yeah. And I'm very conscious of that because I'm about to go and move into a place on my own again. And I'm worried about this, actually.
Claire,
because isolation.
Put me on your 4 a.m. list. Please. I'll come come and get you.
But it's hard,
isn't it?
Right?
It's really scary. I have it. You know, you're like me. You live in a city away from your family. Mm. Like, I remember when I had Daisy. Like, everyone's like, "Oh, you're this yummy mummy now." Your hubby goes back to work. You're like, "I'm stuck with a kid. I don't know what I'm doing." I felt so lonely. Mm. I didn't know where I was at. And it's finding, like you say, those people. It only has to be a handful that get you, and you can trust, and you can go, "Help me. My baby's just pooed all over me, and I don't know what to do or whatever."
And actually, a lot of new mums say about this loneliness, because they go from being in a bustling, busy office environment to suddenly being at home on their own, tired, exhausted.
And you're with this little thing that you love, but just poos, eats, doesn't talk to you, and just you don't know what to do. So that it's a sense of loneliness I have not had in a long time. Mm. And I think it's saying it and saying to the people you love, "I feel a bit sad, I feel a bit lonely, I don't know where I am, help me."
Yeah. Look for your tribe. I mean, do you know what? One of the best things that's happened, and a reason I come back again and again and again to Slimming World, the cult, whatever people want to call it, is, and I do stay to group, and I have made an effort in the last couple of years to get to know people's
and you've
names,
invested in
right?
It. Yeah, and
I want well for these people, and they want well for me,
and I
that's
think that's
the connection.
I think the whole premise when Margaret set up Slimming World groups, it's just decided to pour down, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that a sense of community and a community that understood you? And I said it to Greek. I think it was on Thursday. Like, do you ever feel like in the world no one gets you, and then you come into this room and everyone gets you? It's knowing you're safe. It
knowing
really
when you speak out and say, "I'm going through this," and there are at least two or three people in that room that nod their heads.
Yeah.
That's what it takes.
You see, you guys don't necessarily see it because the way you're sitting, but I see like these heads bobbing all the
like
time.
A pigeon.
Yeah, and I love that because it's like, yes, I get you, I'm here. So yeah, if you ever feel a bit lonely, get down to a Slimming World group, you get a free cup of tea and a cuddle. Well, that's just mine, I like to cuddle.
Do you? No touching.
No. Oh, you're not into touching.
No.
Oh, I'm such a tactile person. I'm always stroking and calling people darling.
Only if I like them.
Yeah. Do you know, I found it when I was pregnant. When you've got a bump, people think they can come and touch you.
Yeah.
It's like, get off me.
You know, funny enough, I had a conversation with a lady who presents a podcast called Sister Collective, and she was saying how for black women, people love touching her hair.
Oh,
and it was driving her crazy.
Look at Afra, yes.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, actually, yeah, my friends who would say when they're pregnant, public transport, on the bus.
It's awful.
Get off me. Who are you?
Do not. You wouldn't come and stroke my boob. Well, you might, but why? That's a whole podcast again. But why is it acceptable to touch my unborn child? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Right, anyway, hopefully we've given you a few things to ponder on, really, of where do you think you are at? If you draw a line right now and put an A and a B at the end of it, where do you think you are? And I'm guessing it's not a straight line. I'm guessing it's a bit of a wibbly wobbly bit. And where do you think you are in that grey murky part now? Or maybe you're after B and you're going on to C.
Yes, because B can be hold. Oh my God. Do you know where I am, Claire? Wishing I hadn't worn a white top and getting wet because now you can see me boobs.
And on that note, I think that we'll end the podcast. Perhaps on our next episode, we'll find a more...
Oh, can we go inside, please, Mum?
Yeah, maybe. Right, keep sending us your comments anyway. As we say, we do get lots of your emails, and we can't read them all out, but we are reading them. And I know that some of you are sending epic emails to us, which take us like 5 minutes to read, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah, we love
that's it. That's okay. It's cool.
But we won't all... We do read them, but we don't always have the time to get back to you. So please know we are acknowledging you. But I think it would be a full-time job to get back to the messages right now, wouldn't it?
I love that. I love it. Yeah. Right. Have a great week. Get cracking on getting to point B or point C or point D, wherever you want to be. And know that when you connect with us on this podcast and you connect as part of the wider Slimming World family, that you are not alone, that you are part of a big family. And we're here for you.
Yeah.
Even if sometimes it feels like other people... and other places aren't. So sending out the love to you wherever you may be.
Y'all.